You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Watch the video on ilikehowilook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ilikehowilook.com.
Doctors are warning parents not to have measles parties to expose children to the disease. California Department of Public Health is urging parents not to revive the practice aimed at building immunity in children. Doctors say such events are not a substitution for vaccination and can be very dangerous. Such parties could also spread the disease even further. NFL Films founder Ed Sable is dead at the age of 98. Sable passed away Monday at his home in Scottsdale, Arizona. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame's class of 2011 and revolutionized the way football and other sports are presented. During his tenure from 1964 to 1995, NFL Films won 52 Emmy Awards. He served as president of the company until 1985 and then turned that role over to his son, Steve, who died in 2012 at the age of 69 from an inoperable brain tumor. Under the elder Sable, NFL Films innovations included the first use of microphones on coaches, players, and referees, adding music to footage and blooper videos. NFL Films founder Ed Sable dead at the age of 98. This is USA Radio News.
Beth, wow, you look fabulous.
Thanks.
I mean, so refreshed.
Must be the free facial I earned during February at Rite Aid.
February?
Yeah, you can earn all these great rewards just by shopping at Rite Aid.
That sounds fab.
It's February at Rite Aid. Earn rewards from mini golf to beauty treatments to vacations for every $50 you spend on participating products with your Wellness Plus card. Now through February 28th. Get shopping and start earning rewards today. Certain restrictions apply. Value and types of rewards will vary. See riteaid.com/February for details.
This is Love of Reading Week, and in Arizona, Pima County Public Library is celebrating by giving away nearly 8,000 books.
It's important for adults and libraries especially to help advocate for education and learning and a love of reading. And by putting a brand new book in the hands of a child, we're hoping to do that.
The library's Kenya Johnson says between now and next Monday, kids can pick up a book to take home and keep at any of their 27 branches. The majority of the books are for preschool and elementary students, though there are a few for older and more advanced readers as well. She says the library is hoping to foster a love of reading in thousands of kids this week.
Thanks to the Friends of the Pima County Public Library, we were able to purchase 8,000 books and distribute them throughout our libraries in the community.
Kenya Johnson says it's easy for kids to get a free book this week.
All you have to do is come in to any of our 27 locations and ask for your free brand new book, and one of our staff members will happily help you out.
Samsung's new smart TV is telling people what you say. The South Korean electronics giant's voice recognition system can do more than follow directions to change the channel. The fine print on the privacy statement that comes with the TV warns that personal or sensitive things owners say will be, quote, captured and transmitted to a third party through your use of voice recognition. Be careful what you say. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, Member FINRA and SIPC.
Time is 10:06. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it's 29 degrees, overcast skies. We're done with the precipitation for today. It's going to be cloudy skies, though, and a high of 38, winds north-northeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Going to get some meltage going on. The bad news is that it's going to come down again, and we could have some ice, some ponding, and some ice later on tonight. Mostly clear with a low around 15, winds north-northeast at 5 to 10. Except for a few afternoon clouds tomorrow, mainly sunny and a high of 35, winds northeast at 5 to 10. Snow showers early on Thursday, steadier snow developing later in the day, about 1 inch of snow is expected, a high of 37. Friday the 13th, partly cloudy and a high of 20. Watching for a potential storm on Saturday with 2 to 4 inches of snow, a high of 32, a low of 9. Sunday, clearing and windy, a high of 13, a low of 0. Temperatures in our area right now, we have Raritan is at 32, Reddington's at 31, White House 31, 30 in Highbridge, 28 in Quakertown, 31 in Pittstown, 31 in Hopewell, and 31 in Lambertville. That is Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Time for us to go on to Tech Today. Here we go. It is time for Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking solutions for general, personal, or business use can be better informed when making a purchasing decision or hiring individuals to carry out those technological decisions. Each week, I will focus on topics about technology. Segments will include the news, latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can message me there. Email me at goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. Phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410. To contact me outside of the show, BluePantherBIZ.com is my company website. Welcome to another edition of Tech Today here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. How about this, ladies and gentlemen? Your devices, your technology that you depend upon is being affected or has vulnerabilities to it. The first of which is this report that came out and was debuted on 60 Minutes. My article here is from the Detroit News. David Shepherdson of the Detroit News wrote this article on the 8th saying, report, cars are vulnerable to wireless hacking. Yes, as we continue to talk about adding more and more technology into cars, wireless technology, chips that are interacting with you and helping you make decisions or even taking control of the car. It doesn't seem as though car makers are putting as much effort into the security and the privacy of that than as they are about making sure that the functionality works. So millions of cars and trucks are vulnerable to hacking through wireless technologies that could jeopardize driver safety and privacy, a report released on Sunday. As vehicles grow increasingly connected through wireless networks and become more dependent on sophisticated electronic systems, Congress and federal regulators are worried about the potential for hackers to interfere with vehicle functions. The report, overseen by Senator Ed Markey, a Democrat from Massachusetts, says Vehicles are vulnerable to hacking through wireless networks, smartphones, infotainment systems like OnStar, even a malicious CD popped into a car stereo. Its release comes after CBS News 60 Minutes on Sunday aired a segment showing how vehicles can be subjects of remote hacking. Just last month, BMW AG said it had fixed a security flaw that could have allowed up to 2.2 million vehicles to have their doors remotely opened by hackers. Markey cited studies showing hackers can get into the controls of some popular vehicles, causing them to suddenly accelerate, turn, kill the brakes, activate the horn, control the headlights, and modify the speedometer and gas gauge readings. Additional concerns came from the rise of navigation and other features that record and send locations or driving history information. Drivers have come to rely on these new technologies, but unfortunately, the automakers haven't done their part to protect us from cyber attacks or privacy invasions, Markey said. Even as we more connected than ever in our cars and trucks, our technology systems and data security remains largely unprotected. He said government and automaker industry officials need to work with cybersecurity experts to establish clear rules of the road, not voluntary agreements, to ensure the safety and privacy of 21st century American drivers. Markey had some security measures used by automakers. ID numbers and radio frequencies can be identified and rewritten or bypassed. The 60 Minutes segment showed a researcher with a laptop hacking into a new car, turning on windshield wipers, sounding the horn, deactivating brakes, as correspondent Leslie Stahl was unable to stop in a parking lot. Automakers in the 60 Minutes report note that there is no known real-world case of a car being hacked remotely, but the program notes that security cameras have shown cars burglarized by hackers unlocking doors. You can find software to do that online for $25, the show said. Sean Kane, president of Massachusetts-based Safety Research and Strategies, said there has been a stunning lack of foresight by regulators to ensure that cars are safe and secure. Look how many of the last year's recalls related to online and electronic issues. It's not going to be that far along. Whole generations of vehicles that could be vulnerable. It's not sci-fi, Kane said. Some 2014 models use 2G technology, he said. That could be a wide open door to hackers. Kane agreed that, at least initially, the biggest concern for hackers is those who got access to persons' car keys. But he said there are big concerns about wireless access. The issue could be even more important as future vehicles communicate with one another through vehicle-to-vehicle technology to prevent crashes, but could also be at risk of hacking. One automaker told Markey that some owners have attempted to reprogram the vehicle's onboard computer to increase the horsepower of vehicles or torque through the use of performance chips. Wade Newton, a spokesman for the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers, the trade group representing Detroit's big three automakers, Toyota Motor Corp, Volkswagen, and others, said he had not seen that report. But he said automakers believe strong consumer data privacy protections and strong vehicle security are essential. Auto engineers incorporate security solutions into vehicles from the very first stage of design and production, and security testing never stops. So the deal is, and quite honestly, if you've listened to me over the last year or so, there are all sorts of ways to reprogram and hack into things. If you take the model of, and I could be wrong for doing this, but if you take the model of simply what you can do with an iPhone or an Android phone in terms of how much is out there to rewrite, to put a different operating system on it, to what they call quote-unquote root it or jailbreak it, same thing's going to be available for cars. There are going to be people that have the expertise, the knowledge, the know-how. We have YouTube. They're going to publish those types of reports. They're going to show you videos, and people are going to be able to do it. Some of that is for the better. You can do some better things with the car, make it more fuel efficient, but other things are going to be worse. You're going to have the ability for people to be able to get into the cars and do something funny, do something original, do something strange, or do something dangerous. So the cycle continues. It's just moving to another apparatus. All right, it's time for me to take a quick break. You'll listen to Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com. I'll be right back with more right after these messages.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
It's 10:19. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. So, all right, I've already got you freaked out about your new car getting hacked. How about this? You're sitting in front of your TV, and your TV is listening to everything that you're saying. The Samsung TVs, it was just revealed, your Samsung TV is eavesdropping on your private conversations. Written by CNN Money, money.cnn.com, the author is, I always put it in a different spot, it's really hard to find, David Goldman. He says, be careful what you say in front of your Samsung TV, it's listening to you. Many Samsung smart TVs come equipped with voice recognition, which allows you to bark commands at your TV. Since the television is always listening to your voice, Samsung has warned its smart TV customers that every word is being captured and sent over the internet. Please be aware that if your spoken words include personal or other sensitive information, the information will be among the data captured and transmitted to a third party through use of voice recognition, Samsung posted in its smart TV privacy policy. Okay, that's pretty creepy, says David. Samsung says it needs to send your voice commands to a third party because that company converts your speech to text, but Samsung also collects your voice commands to perform research and determine whether it needs to make improvements to the feature. Samsung noted that a microphone appears on the screen when the voice recognition feature is turned on, notifying customers that their voice is being captured. You can opt out of the smart TV voice recognition feature. But even if you opt out, your voice commands will still be captured. The smart TV has a set of pre-programmed commands that it recognizes even if you opt out of voice recognition. Samsung will collect the text of those pre-programmed voice commands, though not your voice itself, and analyze how much you're using certain commands. Samsung does not retain voice data or sell it to third parties. The company said in a statement, if a consumer consents and uses the voice recognition feature, the voice data is sent to a server, which service searches for the requested content, then returns the desired content to the TV. Samsung did not immediately respond to a request for comment on the identity of the third party or whether the company records the voice data. I'm going to draw on my own personal experience here, my own business professional experience here, with regard to technology and backup. When I have worked in companies, and even as I do it now for companies, the one thing that I absolutely fear as a technologist and a consultant is that if I lose the data, I don't have a way of rebuilding something. And so the concept of backup goes on many iterations. The first one is that I back up the data for my client so that they can retrieve the data if they lost it. I also back up the data for any type of special project. So I'll make a book copy of the backups of data so I can retrieve it again if, in fact, I make a mistake and I destroy data that I didn't intend to destroy, so I have a backup for it. When I worked in corporations and we were handing data back and forth between businesses and departments, I always had a copy of the data. Why? Because I didn't want the business people or the receiving or sending organizations to come back to me and say that we had inadvertently done something to the data. So I always had a copy of the data before and after it left. Why? For personal and professional security. So when I hear this, how a copy of the data is being captured, it's being sent out to a third party. That third party is making adjustments to it, and then it's sending the adjustments over to Samsung, and then Samsung is sending something back to you. I'm telling you, I know it's not stated in here, but I am telling you, somewhere there are backups for the sake of personal, professional security, of making sure you're doing the right thing, making sure you're doing the right job. So no matter what this is telling you, I'm sorry, but it's really, really scary that all this stuff is going somewhere and it's being captured. And most people don't care. It's an onerous amount of data. It's going to be very difficult to call out the information that you have and be able to use it. But it's still there, and somebody will be able to use it for a vindictive purpose if they need to or want to. So that's very concerning to me. It's 10:25. LinkedIn fundamentally has ruined recruitment, says the Entrepreneur magazine. Says Maury Hannigan, and this was written on the 4th. It says, it's hard to deny the impact of LinkedIn, which rightfully bills itself as the world's largest professional network. And it's hard to realize the impact, deny the impact, in recruiting function. The network has forever changed the way organizations connect with talent, giving them unprecedented access to both active and passive candidates. But change isn't always good. In its case, it has been disastrous. Despite all the praise it gets and the many people who swear by it, LinkedIn has actually destroyed the efficiency of the recruiting function, making it more difficult to connect with qualified talent. To understand the negative impact, it is important to recognize how things used to be. Companies typically leveraged headhunters to search firms as their primary way of identifying talent for mid-level as well as senior-level positions. The headhunters would interact directly with job seekers to learn what they were looking for in their next job, minimum salary, willingness to relocate, desired industries, potential deal breakers. This includes key information in their private databases, based on what hiring managers were looking for in their next hires. The headhunters would make the appropriate matches. The result was a fairly streamlined process. Candidates would interview with just one person who could connect them with multiple employers. As detailed candidates' information was recently publicly available, headhunters served a crucial link, facilitating how companies found qualified candidates. With the rise of LinkedIn, much but not all of the candidates' data that was previously stored in their private databases became publicly available, diminishing the need for headhunters. Challenges in the age of LinkedIn. Today, most companies, including all the Fortune 500, have transitioned their recruitment function to in-house, with the belief that it is much cheaper and more efficient to hire an army of recruiters and have them scour LinkedIn to find the best candidates. Though they gain access to a seemingly infinite candidate pool, they lose the curation and filtering that headhunters provided. What good are thousands of potential candidates if they don't respond, are uninterested in the position, or turn out to be unqualified? Instead of relying on a headhunter who could supply the company with pre-vetted, right-fit candidates, the move to LinkedIn means that recruiters are blinded when it comes to finding talent. While a candidate may have the perfect experience and skills for a particular job, he or she may turn down an interview request simply because they don't want to work in that industry, whereas a headhunter would have known this and not approached the candidate with the opportunity. Corporate recruiters looking for talent on LinkedIn simply lack this insight. As a result, candidates are bombarded with offers for which they have absolutely no interest. Moreover, just because someone is on LinkedIn doesn't mean that they are a job seeker. Recruiters often waste valuable time and effort pursuing individuals who won't even entertain the idea of transitioning to a new job. The experience is even more frustrating for the candidates themselves, whereas a candidate would previously have had a conversation with a single headhunter about what they were looking for in a job. They must now have such conversations with each corporate recruiter who contacts them. The sheer number of contacts they get can be frustrating as a recruiter looks for any and all candidates who are even remotely connected to the job they want to fill. It is impossible for them to know crucial factors such as the person's salary requirements. As such, they often reach out to individuals who are overqualified or underqualified instead of targeting those who are truly a good fit. As a result, candidates often ignore all inquiries, and for high-demand candidates, they shut down their LinkedIn profile completely and go dark. The result is a vicious cycle, as recruiters find it more difficult to identify the ideal candidate. They send out more and more requests and receive fewer and fewer responses. Clearly, this strategy leads to frustration for the employer, the candidate alike, but it doesn't have to be that way. So it's interesting. It says now, so he's giving you an example, how we can make it personal again. What's missing from the recruitment in the age of LinkedIn is the personal connection. It was the deep understanding of candidates that made headhunters so successful. The candidate lies in starting the conversation. The challenge lies in starting the conversation. Rather than simply sending candidates random messages with text-only job descriptions, it will be much more effective to develop robust content that truly engages, like a welcome video from the hiring manager, or pictures showing off the unique work environment. Provide enough interesting and useful information so a candidate has a reason to review the job and see if it is a fit. A text-only job description is dead on arrival. Candidates know that they are boilerplate and mind-numbing instead of reaching out to any and all candidates just because their name shows up on a search. Companies must target their messaging to those candidates most likely to respond. Finding the right person for the right job has always been a challenge. Despite the rise of social networks and the changes they introduced, recruitment is still a daunting and research-consuming task. To get ahead, companies must take a look at what worked in the past, namely the human touch, and leverage today's technology to make recruiting personal again. Employers now have a growing number of channels and tools to collect with talent. They just need to make sure that they do it in a meaningful way that piques a candidate's interest and makes them want to join. It has been a frustrating time. The last 8 years have been unreal. I don't know. Unfortunately, there's another part to this that is there are recruiters, I don't even know if you call them headhunters, whatever you want to call them, that do send out an unbelievable amount of jobs, and they don't even respond when you respond to them. So, yes, the personal touch needs to cull down so that the recruiter, the headhunter, and the candidate can connect and talk meaningfully, because you're getting hit with all these messages. You respond to a few of them that you like, you don't get a response back. So you really do need somebody to break through, and therein lies the opportunity for a true bona fide headhunter, somebody who really gets it, who will make that extra special effort to get to the know the candidates and talk with them about what they're looking for. But also, it is seen as you still work for the hiring company, and candidates are on their guard from what the headhunter is trying to do, because sometimes the headhunter does use the candidates or some of the candidates as not necessarily the one they want, just as another option because they had another candidate really in mind. It's 10:33. We're going to take a break. News and weather up next. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. Boston workers are facing a slippery commute today as a result of record snowfalls, and they'll have to do it without subway and commuter rail, as transportation workers will spend the day clearing snow from the tracks. Some buses are running, but the hundreds of thousands of people who typically use the rail will have to find another ride. Jordan is deploying thousands of troops to its border with Iraq. NBC News is reporting that it's part of a new campaign against ISIS terrorists who burned alive a captive Jordanian pilot. President Obama is getting ready to make good on his threat to veto Keystone XL pipeline legislation. The House of Representatives should vote today or tomorrow on the pipeline bill that was approved by the Senate last week. The House has already approved their own version of the bill and should have no problem passing the new bill comfortably. All is well after a U.S. Airways flight was forced to land in Houston without nose gear. Flight 1825 from Philadelphia made an emergency landing last night at Bush Intercontinental Airport after the pilot noticed the gear wouldn't come down. This is USA Radio News.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2-and-a-chew weight loss system from ILikeHowILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nufina, probably, I want to say 60, 65 days ago, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nufina because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nufina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2-and-a-chew weight loss system from ILikeHowILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. This could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeHowILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeHowILook.com.
Doctors are warning parents not to have measles parties to expose children to the disease. California Department of Public Health is urging parents not to revive the practice aimed at building immunity in children. Doctors say such events are not a substitution for vaccination and can be very dangerous. Such parties could also spread the disease even further. NFL Films founder Ed Sabol is dead at the age of 98.
Sable passed away Monday at his home in Scottsdale, Arizona. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame's class of 2011 and revolutionized the way football and other sports are presented. During his tenure from 1964 to 1995, NFL Films won 52 Emmy Awards. He served as president of the company until 1985 and then turned that role over to his son, Steve, who died in 2012 at the age of 69 from an inoperable brain tumor. Under the elder Sable, NFL Films' innovations included the first use of microphones on coaches, players, and referees, adding music to footage and blooper videos. NFL Films founder Ed Sable dead at the age of 98. This is USA Radio News.
Beth, wow, you look fabulous.
Thanks.
I mean, so refreshed.
Must be the free facial I earned during February at Rite Aid.
February?
Yeah, you can earn all these great rewards just by shopping at Rite Aid.
That sounds fab.
It's February at Rite Aid. Earn rewards from mini golf to beauty treatments to vacations for every $50 you spend on participating products with your Wellness Plus card. Now through February 28th. Get shopping and start earning rewards today. Certain restrictions apply. Value and types of rewards will vary. See riteaid.com/February for details.
This is Love of Reading Week, and in Arizona, Pima County Public Library is celebrating by giving away nearly 8,000 books.
It's important for adults and libraries especially to help advocate for education and learning and a love of reading. And by putting a brand new book in the hands of a child, we're hoping to do that.
The library's Kenya Johnson says between now and next Monday, kids can pick up a book to take home and keep at any of their 27 branches. The majority of the books are for preschool and elementary students, though there are a few for older and more advanced readers as well. She says the library is hoping to foster a love of reading in thousands of kids this week.
Thanks to the Friends of the Pima County Public Library, we were able to purchase 8,000 books and distribute them throughout our libraries in the community.
Kenya Johnson says it's easy for kids to get a free book this week.
All you have to do is come in to any of our 27 locations and ask for your free brand new book, and one of our staff members will happily help you out.
Samsung's new smart TV is telling people what you say. The South Korean electronics giant's voice recognition system can do more than follow directions to change the channel. The fine print on the privacy statement that comes with the TV warns that personal or sensitive things owners say will be, quote, captured and transmitted to a third party through your use of voice recognition. Be careful what you say. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Time is 10:38. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it is 30 degrees. We'll be up above freezing around 11:30 near noon. It's overcast right now. 11-mile-an-hour winds gusting up to 14. Today is the 10th of February. Sun and clouds mixed today, a high of 36. Winds north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight and a low of 15. Winds north-northeast at 5 to 10. Sunny along with a few clouds and a high near 35 on tomorrow, winds northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow showers on Thursday, a high of 37. 1 inch of snow is expected. Friday the 13th, partly cloudy skies and a high of 19. Cloudy with snow and a high of 32. On Saturday, 2 to 4 inches of snow is expected. Chance of snow, 70%. And then we have a low of 12. A high of 12 on Sunday and a low of 0 on Sunday night. Temperatures in our area, we have... I have 40 in Hillsborough, 32 in East Amwell, 33 in Kingwood, 29 in Baptistown, 32 in Reddington, 30 in Lebanon, and 32 in Hampton. That is Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Stay tuned for more of Tech Today right now. Is your business doing enough to protect personal data? Why data protection matters to business owners and how to protect your site. Peter Rosler, president of Web Marketing Pros, wrote this article on Inc.com, and he says, As we move through the digital age, people have become more accustomed to the idea that vital information about their lives is stored online by various government agencies and by companies they do business with. All of this requires that people have faith in the security of those systems. A number of high-profile security breaches in 2014 has consumers on alert, and business owners should be as well. Protecting personal data isn't just important for existing customers. The strength of a site's security can affect whether or not a customer chooses to use a site in the first place. With this in mind, business owners need to be asked if their business is doing enough to protect personal data. Protecting personal data is important to business owners for multiple reasons. As consumers become more concerned about security breaches from companies, they become more wary about using sites that don't meet their security concerns. A study from BizRate Insights noted that a growing number of American shoppers are now, quote, reluctant, unquote, to make purchases because they feel retailers aren't doing enough to protect personal data. According to the study, which was based on nearly 5,000 online shopper surveys, nearly two-thirds, 62% of online shoppers think brick-and-mortar retailers' security isn't strong enough to protect their personal and credit card data. About 3 out of 5, 60%, said the same about online commerce security, and 65% say the same about mobile transactions. Clearly, business owners need to work hard to address this lack of trust, which results in diminished sales. Data breaches are also costly. When they happen, a system that has been hacked will need to be repaired. The company will face losses from transactions that can't be reversed, and the bad publicity can make consumers less trustful of a brand, resulting in lower sales. It will likely cost money to get the security for a brand site up to date, but it's far less expensive than having to deal with the cost of a security breach. That's a very interesting paragraph right there. It's even a sentence. And this is what I work with businesses on all the time, not just in security, but in any type of business choice. Because too many business owners look at the fact that they're going to have to spend money to do something, and they're watching that transaction come out of their bank account is painful to them. And I try and compare it to how painful would it be for the understanding that how much it's going to cost your business if you don't do some of these things. You have to start thinking that way, because reality, the low, what they call low risk, or the remote risk, happens more often than we'd like to think. Don't make the mistake of thinking a small business is too little to be the target of hackers. Business owners need to keep in mind that cyber criminals are on the prowl for retail sites that lack security protocols. For example, a site that hasn't been updated with the latest version of SSL is susceptible to a variety of security vulnerabilities that have been fixed in the latest version. A site without proper updates to the security framework is like a screen door with huge holes. Sure, there's a door, but it won't stop anyone who wants to get in. So, things business owners can do to secure their sites. Upgrade your site to HTTPS. That's Security Protocol of Hypertext Transmission Protocol. It's encrypted. Keep employees informed on proper security protocols for the site. To make sure employees aren't the weak link in the security chain, business owners need to have rules in place to ensure a site and the personal data within stays secure. In a recent report noting that after effects of the recent Sony breach, Forrester Research noted that 46% of security breaches of retail companies are caused by internal accidents, while 33% come from external attacks. The company should have rules about which employees have access to the personal data from customers, and there should be rules about creating proper passwords for login systems. This is more important than you realize. Sadly, the most common password in 2014 was 123456. That's the password. Make sure your employees are using something a little bit more secure. Having a policy in place for breaches. The sad truth of the matter is that business owners need to prepare for the worst when it comes to security. According to estimates from Forrester Research, 3 out of 5, 60%, U.S. companies will discover a breach of sensitive data in 2015. Some of these will be big breaches, but a lot of them will be smaller ones. Handling these smaller incidents correctly can limit the fallout from a breach. Being able to quickly correct the problem, notify customers, and offer assistance when possibly will help a brand mitigate any damage to a brand caused by security breaches. Be prepared to help to handle DDoS attacks. DDoS attacks, by the way, are distributed denial of service. It's just so many hits on your website that it just breaks it or it shuts it down. Though this doesn't relate specifically to user data, it's important for business to be prepared to handle distributed denial of service attack, since they are more likely to happen, according to a 2014 L2 report on security breaches. Denial of service attacks accounted for 33% of U.S. digital security breaches in 2013, compared to 31% of point-of-sale breaches. And in some cases, DDoS attacks have been used to conceal other breaches. There's not much business that can prevent DDoS attacks from happening, but by using a web host that's resilient enough to withstand some attacks and skilled enough to know how to mitigate them, a business can prevent long down periods, which hurt customer confidence and site security. Protecting personal data is essential for online retailers. Not only are data breaches costly to fix, they can tarnish a brand's image and hurt future online sales. In fact, the research shows that having an insecure site could keep shoppers from using a site in the first place. Business owners should use the tips above to create a more secure experience for their consumers and reduce the risk their image can be damaged by personal data leaks. It's 10:47. We're going to be right back right after these messages.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With 3 great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend. Hi. I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
Welcome back to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. There's this belief out there that there is anonymous data. There is no such thing as anonymous data in computer programming. None. Scott Baronato of the Harvard Business Review wrote this article on the 9th, and he says, about a decade ago, a hacker told me flatly, assume every card in your wallet is compromised and proceed accordingly. He was right. Consumers have adapted to a steady throng of data breach notifications, random breach notifications, random credit card charges, and out-of-the-blue card replacements. A privacy industry complex has sprung up from this, technology services and policies all aimed at trying to protect data while allowing it to flow freely enough to keep the modern electronic bazaar thriving. A key strategy in this has been to scrub data, which means removing personal identifiable information so that even if someone did access it, they wouldn't connect to it as an individual. So much for that. In a paper published in Science last week, MIT scientist Yves Alexander de Montchot shows that anonymous credit card data can be reverse engineered to identify individuals' transactions, a finding which calls into question many of the policies developed to protect consumers and forces data scientists to reconsider the policies and ethics that guide how they use large data sets. De Montchot and colleagues examined 3 months of credit card transactions for 1.1 million people, all of which had been scrubbed of any PII. Still, 90% of the time he managed to identify individuals in the dataset using the data and the location of just four of their transactions. By adding knowledge of the price of the transactions, he increased re-identification, the academic term for spotting an individual in anonymized data, to 94%. Additionally, women were easier to re-identify than men, and re-identification ability increased with income of the consumer. To be clear, re-identification means that the researchers could identify all the transactions that belong to an individual, but De Montchot didn't attempt to say which individual. For example, if he wanted to know my transactions, he'd need to take additional steps to cross-reference something he knew about me to the data. If, for example, I posted on Facebook about a trip to a restaurant, that could provide the key to connecting me to an entire portfolio of anonymous transactions. He didn't try to put names on it, De Montchot says, but we know basically what you need to do that. What's more, De Montchot showed that even coarse data provides little anonymity. He lowered the resolution on his data by looking only at areas where purchases happen, not specific shops, and 15-day timeframes in which they happen, not specific dates. He also broadened the price range of the purchases so that transactions that previously were categorized as 5 and 16 were now put in a bin more than twice as big. That ranged from 5 to 34. Even with low-res data like this, he could pluck out four transactions and re-identify individuals 15% of the time. By looking at 10 such data points, he could remarkably re-identify individuals 80% of the time. It's not the first time that De Montchot has played the part of privacy killjoy. In previous work, he pulled off a similar trick, re-identifying individuals using anonymous mobile phone location data. Others have performed similar parlor tricks with other datasets. And while he hasn't yet tested other types of large datasets, such as browsing histories, he believes that it seems likely they too are susceptible to re-identification. The implications of De Montchot's work are profound. Broadly, it means that anonymity doesn't ensure privacy, which could render toothless many of the world's laws and regulations around consumer privacy. Guaranteeing anonymity, that is, the removal of PII in exchange for being able to freely collect and use data, a bread and butter marketing policy for everyone from app makers to credit card companies might not be enforceable if anonymity can be hacked. Anonymization, as we define it today, D. Montjoy says, is inadequate and ultimately doomed to fail with large metadata. The kind of publicly available big data has so many companies are tapping into. We don't use the term big data, but what he describes as metadata datasets are largely in line with that concept. So, basically, reading those privacy statements is useless. If you're using data out there, understand that at any given point, your data can be compromised. Now, there's policies in place to protect you from that, such as credit card transactions that are not yours. But really, the best thing to do is stop giving up as much information as you already do. And you need to be more diligent in what you provide and when you provide it. That's the basic scenario to protect yourself. It's 10:57, time for me to get on out of here. Some Things About Money is up next, followed by Food for Thought. Been my pleasure to be with you. Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, embrace it as the mission of tech today. Hopefully we've empowered and imported that mission onto you. We'll talk with you next week. I have a guest from White House Station. We have a website designer that will be coming on in. Talk to you next week. Have a great week.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News, I'm Ron Taylor. The family of Kayla Mueller is confirming the American aid worker is dead. ISIS had claimed Mueller was killed in a Jordanian airstrike but had not offered any proof of her death. Bobby Christina Brown's family is taking her off life support on the anniversary of her mother's death. Both TMZ and the New York Post are reporting that Bobby Christina will be allowed to die at the stroke of midnight tonight in Atlanta. The daughter of Bobby Brown and the late Whitney Houston is in a medically induced coma after she was found unconscious in a bathtub on January 31st. The 21-year-old is reportedly brain dead and both sides of the family have agreed to pull the plug. Houston was found dead in a hotel bathroom 3 years ago tomorrow. She was 48. The Senate Armed Services Committee is giving its approval to Ashton Carter to be the nation's next defense secretary. Committee Chairman John McCain spoke after the unanimous vote.
Then the motion will be reported favorably of Dr. Carter's nomination to the floor of the Senate, and hopefully we can get a vote perhaps even as early as tomorrow.
This is USA Radio News.
Would you wait several days for your shower to get hot? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. Ugh. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds and keeps working for 12 hours. So why wait several days to feel the full effect? You can start to get relief in seconds with Afrin. Afrin, powerful congestion relief without the wait. Use as directed.
Man, last night we put on an epic light show.
So epic.
The crowd loved us.
Wait, there are only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? Their eyes lit up brighter than ours, and we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to be out here rocking out our light show at a forest near you. So come check us out.
Check us out.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you.